Sugatsia for my friends at Casper. Years of research, hundreds of tests, thousands of iterations. The result? The latest and dreamiest in sleep innovation, including the new mattresses from Casper. Casper has done it again with all new mattresses. Waking up with back pain? Introducing Zone Support, Casper's unique ergonomic system designed to keep your spine aligned when you sleep. There's something brand new called Airscape, engineered foam layers with perforations that help regulate your sleep temperature. From bedding, bed frames, and even a dog bed, Casper has everything to build the dream bedroom for every kind of sleeper. I've been sleeping on a Casper mattress for years. I swear by it. Most comfortable mattress I've ever slept on. Anytime they have new innovations, I am in on that. And as always, free shipping and free returns. And now Casper is offering free contactless delivery. And as always, free returns. Go to Casper.com. Use code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. That's code Lebatard for $100 off your mattress order. Terms and conditions apply. See Casper.com/terms.
This is the Dan Lebatard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So North Dakota's own Carson Wentz is running into the breach to talk about that racial tension hotbed that is Minneapolis, and he's bringing Jesus with him. We will get to Carson Wentz talking about the condemnation of institutional racism in a second, as a CNN reporter was arrested live on the air today in what is feeling less and less like America. And you've got all sorts. I miss my country, man, or what I thought my country was. But you have all sorts of racial tension all over the country, starting again in Minneapolis. But Stugatz and Mike Ryan want to talk about onside kicks. They want to talk about the onside kick rule instead. So we will get to our upside down country in a second. But priorities, you understand. Mike and Stugatz have some onside opinions. Stugatz has shared some of them. Would you like to share more of them? Because Mike, for some reason, it got his attention today. I don't know. I don't have any idea why.
Well, why doesn't Mike explain why it got his attention today? I've been on this for a week. I think it got Mike's attention today because I think they're probably shelving the idea for a season. At least that's what I was reading this morning.
Man, it was nothing better than a tight game, and you still had a shot if someone had an onside kick. But that's been out the window for like two seasons now with all the new rules on kickoffs for players' safety. So we need to change this because teams still aren't alive. That was so great about the NFL. You still had a shot at an onside kick. You got no shot at it now. Why don't they change this? I'm beside myself.
Okay, so you don't want safety there. You don't?
No, not at all.
Because that seems unsafe. The way that we it seems like the one place, the rules have changed everywhere all over the field for just about everyone, but the one place you can no longer do. We come from a time, Stugatz, do you remember? Put it on the poll. Guillermo. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Do you miss the wedge? Do you miss
the good old wedge?
When two guys would drop back in front of the kick returner and hold hands and just run straight ahead into anybody that was coming their way, and somebody had to fly into the wedge to break up the wedge.
How about the surprise squib kick, Dan? You catch him napping. Oh, man. Bring it back.
Sean Payton still has a job in New Orleans and is considered an untarnished quarterback whisperer because of that onside kick. So what do you want here, Stugatz? I don't understand. I don't understand the nature of your complaints. You want...
Well, the nature of the complaint, Dan, is first off, from a safety standpoint, there is, go ahead and name me the one bad injury you remember from a traditional onside kick. But more importantly, because I remember plenty of injuries of players, coming across the middle, catching a football, getting hurt, getting hit by a safety. So from a safety standpoint, perhaps there's an argument to be made there. But I would tell you, That 15 yards just doesn't seem like a lot, nor is it a big risk to a team like Kansas City or Green Bay or one of these teams with an elite quarterback. What's stopping Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes from going up 7-0 on the first drive and deciding, hey, I ain't going to kick it off. I'm going to take my chances getting 15 yards to get the ball back. I mean, I do it every time if I have Mahomes.
I think you're being slightly reckless because even for Mahomes, so you're going to be giving the other team the ball all the time on, where are you going to be giving the other team the ball?
I think it's on their 25, right? So I'm going to take my chances with Patrick Mahomes getting 15 yards. I feel like I have a pretty good chance of getting 15 yards with that quarterback and that offense. I feel like I could do it at a 75% clip, to be honest with you.
You think that Patrick Mahomes converts 3rd and 15, 2nd and 15, and 1st and 15 3/4 of the time? I don't. I like that you're making up math as we go here, but I don't believe that that is statistically accurate. No matter how good you think Mahomes is, and he appears to be an unprecedented quarterback, I don't think that what you're saying is accurate. I don't. But I was not aware that where the ball would start if you don't convert that 15 yards is the other team's 25 yard line. You're sure that's so? Because that does change. Like, yeah, you would have no reason to ever kick off.
Yeah, I'm certain. I think that's the rule that's been proposed, is, you know, you can go for it 15 yards on the 25 yard line. You don't get it, the other team gets it there. And I'm just saying, if I have one of those quarterbacks, those wide receivers, that elite play caller and Andy Reid, who now has a Super Bowl ring and is more confident than ever, I'm not certain. Like, Dan, you're great with the numbers. Go ahead. You go for that every single time. Don't you feel good? So the other team gets the ball back. There's no guarantee that they score a touchdown, and then you get the ball back again. Like, if you had Patrick Mahomes in that offense, don't you feel, I know you, you would go for it every single time in an effort to get the ball back.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Please explain this to me, because I've been preoccupied with other things over the last, 14 hours or so, as the country has sort of been turned upside down by mass protests. And basically, everyone, given our present condition, everyone is soaked in gas, and we are looking for the spark. Like, there, people are, I thought that what you're witnessing now was going to happen out of desperation, just because of the sheer amount of people who are out of work. I thought something like this was going to happen. It's the first time in my life I've actually considered the idea, even, ever, of, do I need to get a gun, because I don't know what's coming in this country in terms of economy or democracy. Like, I just don't know what's coming, because everything is nuts, and you have now racial division thrown into the mix. And so I've been preoccupied. You're telling me that where we are with the onside rule is all of these teams, all of these teams. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to
what
laugh
happened?
There. Yeah, no, well, just the way I
weird
segued.
Weird time to laugh, yeah, to be honest
but
with you.
But it's the way that I segued.
It was a natural segue.
You're telling me with onside kicks, what you're saying is that if a team doesn't kick.
Yeah.
If a team doesn't kick off, the other team gets the ball.
I'm telling you, the team has the option to kick off or take a play, an offensive play, and try to get 15 yards. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah, but the point is moot because they tabled it, Dan.
Yes.
Why wouldn't all teams do that? Not just
that's my point. It's a dumb rule.
But you keep making it Mahomes, and I'm like, why? Instead of kicking off, I'll save the roster spot, yeah, if I can. Some of these teams still have a kicker who just kicks off, or is that just when you have Vinatieri? How does that work?
I mean, you are changing the math when you only make it Mahomes and not like Dwayne Haskins, Stugatz.
But I think Dan would go for it with Dwayne Haskins. That's my point.
Well, if I never have to kick off and my only penalty is that the other team gets the ball at the 25-yard line, it sounds stupid that way. If you give the other team the ball at the 40 or the 50 or something else, then you have an interesting discussion. But why would anybody kick off under the scenario that you're proposing? And why was this whole thing tabled? Like, why did they just
decide? Because it's dumb.
Yeah, there's just a lot going on, I guess.
There is.
There's a lot going on.
All right. Maybe we'll get to some of it next. Again, when North Dakota and Minneapolis are in the middle of racial tension, the racial tension is pretty high because I don't think of either of those places as high on the racial tension scale.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. We love sports. Sports inspire us. They give us hope in ourselves, in the world, and, of course, in amazing comebacks. Our love for sports grows each day. Dear Sports is our love letter to sports. Share your Dear Sports letter with us. Call 860-506-6161 or share a video or text using the hashtag Dear Sports on Twitter or Instagram. Jerry O'Connell expected to join us here in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. NFL owners tabled a proposal that would have given teams an alternative to the onside kick for the second consecutive year. I love that we spent the first segment discussing a topic that's been tabled. That was great. For the first time in its 124-year history, the Boston Marathon has been canceled. And finally, Grimes, in her newest art project called Selling Out, sees her literally selling a piece of her soul to the highest bidder. Initially, she priced her soul at $10 million, but changed the listing to best offer due to the COVID-19-induced global recession. Very nice. These days, it's good to be prepared. That includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment necessary, and also curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Can one of our producers please find the expression to table something? Like, where does that come from? Why are we tabling it? If you thought it was awkward to go from racial tensions in America to a onside kick rule that has been tabled in the first segment, wait till Jerry O'Connell calls to talk about haircuts in the middle of what we're about to talk about. Oh, now, Roy Bellamy, if you can see him on the Zoom, even though he can be someone who does not like to speak very often and carries a certain misery with him every day, he looks particularly despondent today, understandably, because Black people are under an unreasonable amount of duress today. And so Roy Bellamy is telling you on Twitter, even though he's not someone who speaks that often, I implore everyone to listen. Listen all the way through when people are pouring their hearts out to you. Listen to when people are begging and pleading and informing you about what's really going on in this world. Don't deflect. Don't argue. Just listen. Then maybe you can help. We will get back to that in a second, because here we segue seamlessly into Jerry O'Connell and talking about haircuts, Dugatz. At some point, I'm going to be able to talk about what I actually want to talk about today, but this is no offense meant to Jerry O'Connell. He is joining us now, and his wife, he and his wife, Rebecca Romaine, are hosting Haircut Night in America tonight, 8 p.m. on CBS. He's got a good head of hair, Stugatz. Like, I feel like he's a good person for this show. I don't know whether it's your best feature, Jerry, and thank you for joining us, but it is certainly a beautiful, yes, Stugatz, what would you like to say to Jerry O'Connell?
Well, Jerry, everyone's making top tens during this pandemic, and I will have you know that you made my top 10 list of head of hairs. Congratulations to you. You were number 8 on my list. How about that?
Thank you. That is a real honor. And guys, thank you so much for having me on during these insane times. I mean, it's just crazy hearing you. I mean, just what's going on. I feel almost silly coming on here and talking about Haircut Night in America. You know, I mean, it just doesn't feel...
If you'd called 1 minute earlier, it would have been slightly less awkward. But because we're getting to you a little late, I started with something I shouldn't have started with because I thought you were there.
No, it's okay. Hey, listen, first time, I should start off this conversation by saying first time, long time. And I mean, it just seems like it's insane. Every time you... I have trouble sleeping at night when you turn on the news. I know I'm supposed to keep things light and talk about Haircut Night in America, but I can't. It's just troubling times. I can't even talk about, I wanted to come on here and talk about what are your thoughts on a football season happening? Should I even start research for my fantasy team? And, you know, it's promising that the NHL looks like it's coming back, but I mean, what a nightmare.
Okay, well, Jerry, we're all you. You're speaking for America right now. I wanted to talk to you about whether Kushlash is something you ever sang around the house and about your hair as Kush, but I don't want to talk about that now because I'm known as the grief eater around here. And now that you've opened this portal, we can talk about whatever the hell you want to talk about. Yes, a precinct in Minneapolis is burning. Yes, a reporter from CNN doing his job was arrested before police officers who killed a man who was saying, I can't breathe. Oh,
you got to also say another CNN crew who was Caucasian were not arrested just a block away from that. So it's an insane situation that's going on. It's just insane.
So you're having trouble sleeping just because the world is upside down.
I don't know if it's a social media thing, but I wake up and the first thing I do is I see what's trending. That's sort of my newspaper now. And it's just unsettling what's happening. It's just unsettling. It's really unsettling. And I'm glad that, you know, I get on your show and you're talking about it, you know?
Bolt, do you want to talk about Haircut Night in America? Because this has been quite the mess, Jerry, where you seem discombobulated.
A couple of mensches eating grief. I mean.
Sorry, guys. I realize I'm supposed to do a job and mention Haircut Night in America. Haircut Night in America, I guess I should ask about your, you know what, Dan, what is your hair situation during the pandemic?
Jerry, I look like Bozo the Clown. Like, I've got an afro and it comes out to the sides. I look totally ridiculous. And right. Everyone advises me, don't allow your significant other to cut your hair. You're married to Rebecca right. Romijn. I don't know if she's got gifts correct. In that realm. Do you trust her with your hair?
No, I don't, but it makes for fun television to watch her, I mean, like a landscape artist, just get right in there in the back of my head. I'll tell you, the more frightening segment is when I color her hair. That's when it gets really, tense.
Jerry, this is what I'm telling you, okay? Jerry and his wife, Rebecca Romijn, are hosting Haircut Night in America tonight, 8 p.m. on CBS. We're going to talk to you on Monday, okay? You're going to call us back Monday, okay. less discombobulated, and we're going to do this right because I want to talk about. No, that's okay.
I'm sorry if I was a bit of a downer. The world is on fire, fellas. It's a nightmare out there. But
no, you speak for America, Jerry. I love that you did it here. Like, I love that Jerry O'Connell just spoke for a discombobulated America. I hope SportsCenter runs this sound of this interview, Jerry O'Connell speaking for America during a difficult time.
First time, long time.
Monday will be second time, long time.
All right, we will talk to him Monday then. Thanks to Jerry O'Connell for being on with us. I will go back to eating grief next.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride, from the camaraderie of the other bikers, a band of brothers always there for you, rain or shine, to the amazing savings you get with Geico on your motorcycle insurance and accessories coverage all year round. But for Bucky Hornhill, it was one reason in particular.
It was my helmet hair. I was born with helmet hair. I've tried to cut it a bunch of times, even buzzing it, but it immediately just goes back to helmet hair.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. Missing basketball? Tune in Sunday night for an NBA classic, Game 7 of the 2017 NBA Finals between the Cavs and the Warriors, presented by AutoZone. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Here's your SportsCenter update. Hundreds of minor league baseball players were cut Thursday, and hundreds more are expected to lose their jobs as minor league baseball gets closer to having its season canceled. Now that regular season is over, the NHL announced its regular season awards. Alexander Ovechkin and David Pastrnak will share the Maurice Richard Trophy as the league's top goal scorers. Both scored 48 goals during the regular season. And finally, 13-year-old Jack Rico has graduated from Fullerton College in California with four associate degrees after a two-year run. He's the youngest to graduate from a California institution. Jack plans to earn a bachelor's in history. SportsCenter is brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain Relief Cream is non-greasy, deep-penetrating, and it's odor-free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Pain. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
Come on, Spencer. You got to come back with Pearl Jam and Jeremy there, because it's been a long time since we badgered and hectored our friend Jeremy Schapp. No yammering allowed here, Schapp. I know that you're the voice for the network and everyone. You're the face of journalism for us these days. So we're going to get concise answers out of you, though, because you have this way.
I try to be thoughtful. I don't know why you would resent my attempt's thoughtfulness.
I mean, how is Spencer supposed to know that, by the way, without any sort of direction?
He's been running the show for 2.5 months. A lot of people have been, all eight of them have been, hour by hour. Jeremy Schapp is with us, though, on ESPN Radio, and the reason we're talking to him is because of the Lance documentary. And Stugatz was asking an interesting question while I was saying, Jeremy, how good I think the first part of it was. What does Lance have to lose at this point by allowing such a transparent look into his life?
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of the same equation to what he has to gain. Like, I would think he's doing this because he wants people, he wants a mulligan from the Oprah Winfrey interview 7 years ago, which was disastrous, and he did not seem to express real contrition for all the things that he'd done. And this is another attempt, I would think, to reset his public image. So what he has to lose, if he comes off insincere again, which I think is how most of us feel he came off last time, he remains a pariah. He remains an outcast. And I think one of the things that's particularly clear in the second part of the documentary is that Lance likes the spotlight. You know, he says, you know, it made him uncomfortable, and when he was dating Sheryl Crow, it was too much. But, to me, being around him as a reporter for a number of years, he always seemed to me a guy who kind of liked to be in the spotlight. And so I think he wants to be embraced again. Here is a guy, as you guys know, he was arguably the most revered athlete on planet Earth. And it transcended sports in a way that it doesn't for most big sports heroes. He was a hero to the cancer community. He was a symbol of hope for that community. He was a guy, they talked about, big humanitarian awards, running for office, not just being on the, Mount Olympus or Mount Rushmore of sports. And I think he misses it. I think most people would.
All right, hold on, Jeremy, for just a second, because I'm getting information here. Stugatz, please tell me that it on the onside kick rule, that it's not you get the ball at the other team's 25-yard line, and you were sitting there telling me the entire first segment based on a tabled idea that basically instead of kicking off, you just go for it on 4th and 15, and then if you fail, they get the ball at their 25-yard line. Tell me you didn't get that fact wrong, please.
I didn't get that fact wrong. I did say it incorrectly, and it hasn't been tabled. It's been shelved.
Jeremy Schapp with us on
so
ESPN
confused.
Radio.
I have no idea what's going on.
No, well, but neither does Stugatz.
We're drilling down into the Lance thing, and now we're talking about onside kicks.
Yes, that's right. Well, you should have seen what happened an hour ago, Jeremy. I was talking about racial tensions in this country, and then we were talking about onside kicks, and Stugatz gave me bad information. Anyway, Jeremy Schapp with us on ESPN Radio. Are you allowed to tell us what you thought how Lance came off in the first episode? Because a lot of people find him unlikable.
Well, I you know, that's always been the thing with Lance. I mean, I always found him compelling. He's an interesting guy. He's a smart guy. He has a way of talking that is, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, great TV. And I interviewed him dozens of times, and he was never boring. But there is this hard edge to him, and that's what defined him, that characteristic, the aggressiveness, which was, you know, his greatest strength, and I think I've said this before, his fatal flaw. There's nothing but full steam ahead when it comes to Lance Armstrong. And so to be put in the role where he has to say, I'm so sorry for all the people he hurt, which is what he should be saying, what he should be expressing, what you would hope he genuinely feels, I mean, this sounds harsh, but I'm not sure he's capable of that. He's just not wired like that. That's what made him the incredible once-in-a-generation, once-in-a-lifetime competitor that we saw.
Jeremy Schapp with us here on ESPN Radio. Lance Part 2 airs Sunday night, 9 Eastern on ESPN. Jeremy, I'm wondering, do you think this will work in terms of public opinion? Will he gain any fans back? Will he get any people back on his side as a result of doing this documentary?
I mean, maybe. I mean, because in some ways, you know, I don't know if sympathetic's the right word, but it does explain the context of the cheating. You know, and I've said this repeatedly the last couple of weeks as people have been talking about this documentary, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but there are really two distinct and separate categories of Lance's wrongdoing, transgressions, however you want to characterize it. There's the cheating and the lying about the cheating, which are linked on one side of it. And then on the other side, there is the character assassination and the lawsuits and the hounding of his critics. On the first point, he was doing what you could argue had to be done in that sport at the time. I was talking to some writers. I did a special with Bobby Julich and Tyler Hamilton and George Hincapie the other day. And everyone's in agreement. If you wanted to win the Tour de France in this era and in other eras as well, you had to cheat. The drugs are too good. I think it's, who is it in the show? It's Jonathan Botters who puts it this way. He says, look, the difference between first and last in the Tour de France is 2%. The guy at the head of the peloton and the guy at the end of the peloton when it finishes in France after, you know, 3 weeks of this madness. And EPO is a drug that makes you 10% better. So just do the math. So the cheating and the lying that's connected with it, that's one thing. You could say, hey, he was born with this incredible gift. He might be the most naturally gifted athlete ever in that sport. But if he didn't do what everybody else was doing, he wouldn't finish in the top 50. So that's one bucket. But the other,
Jeremy,
bucket is what he did to people, how he went after them. Yeah.
No, what I wanted to say to you is before we get to the second bucket, I think that one of the things that happened with Lance that is very strong, it's not even the cheating. It was the sanctimony and the righteousness and the arrogance and the bleep off. And you guys say I'm cheating and I'm not cheating. Like, that's
right.
The part that was ugly, that he was in your face about go bleep yourselves. You guys can say, everyone can say we want contrition from our broken athletes, but this particular guy, the defiance was soaked in arrogance, him telling us that we were the ones who were idiots.
You're 100% right, and I think about it all the time, Dan, that commercial, that one Nike commercial in particular, which, you know, addressed the allegations head on. And, you know, they asked me, what am I on? I'll tell you what I'm on. I'm on my bike. And now you hear it, and you're just like, oh, my God. You know, the nerve, right? The chutzpah. And I think about that commercial all the time. It's almost like a joke in my household. You know, it's just like, out of nowhere, I'll say, I'm on my bike. It's just it's shocking. You're right, 100%. And but I think in Lance's mind, I'm not defending him. I'm saying Lance's mind, that line and the blatancy of it, the brazenness of it, is linked to, well, if I was going to cheat, I had to lie. So yes, but it was the way he did it, but it was the way that he went after, and this is, as I said, related, but not the same thing, the way he went after people who called him on it. That was what was truly, unforgivably ugly. Emma O'Reilly, the soigneur masseuse who worked with him, who told the truth to David Walsh from the London Times. Greg LeMond, who's, the way he went after him. The Andreus, Betsy and Frankie Andreu, the way that he went after his critics, I mean, it was, he tried to crush them the way that he tried to crush, you know, Jan Ullrich or Yvonne Basso or the other guys who were competing with him to win the Tour de France. And it's an ugly side of Lance Armstrong. There's no doubt about it.
Jeremy, good talking to you. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Love you guys.
Likewise, I am going to bury Stu Gatz with this onside thing that he started the show with next.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance from acclaimed director Marina Zenovich. Lance is a fascinating, revealing, comprehensive chronicle of one of the most inspirational and then infamous athletes of all time. The latest 30 for 30, Lance, continues with part two this Sunday at 9 Eastern on ESPN. Part two will be available to stream on ESPN Plus immediately following the conclusion of the broadcast. Here's your SportsCenter update. Hundreds of minor league baseball players were cut Thursday, and hundreds more are expected to lose their jobs as minor league baseball gets closer to having its season canceled. Fitty is very upset about this. See? Now that the regular season is over, the NHL announced its regular season awards. Leon Draisaitl earned the Art Ross Trophy as the league's point leader with 110. The Bruins earned the President Trophy as the regular season champions, earning 100 points in the standing.
Can we stop for a second?
He's
let's
excited,
just stop.
Danny,
no, 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 no. Just let's stop for a second. Let's just stop for just a second because me and Mike were trying to help you throughout the break to rectify this, and you showed very little in the way of effort. We both asked you several times, just bring Finney into the room, okay? Just bring the dog into the room. We asked you between the two of us, because you said this was going to happen. We asked you. You ignored us. You didn't answer. Why don't you just bring him into the room? Because look at what he's just done to the segment, Stu Gatz.
No, I know. I tried to, but here's the thing. Everyone's left my house, and so for me to do that, I can't read the sports or I'd have to go pick him up. And
go do it. We'll talk. Go do it. We'll talk. It was during a commercial break. Nobody was talking, Stu Gatz. Please, go get him.
I left off at the end finally there. I will just say, for all the latest headlines and information, tune in to Sports Center on ESPN Radio all throughout the day, because I have to say that, Dan. Now I will go get Finney.
All right. Let's you and I talk about this, because he's been very frustrating today. And a lot of things have been going wrong, and there's a great deal of incompetence just generally around everything in our environment. And it's charming in some ways, as his dog has been for 2.5 weeks, providing comedic content because I pretend to be annoyed by the dog and I yell at Stu Gatz and ha-ha, Finney makes an appearance every day. But you and I were trying to prevent what just happened.
Yeah, just bring the dog in there. We'll have a cute thing. We've heard Finney for like 3 months, but we haven't actually seen Finney. It'd be a nice little payoff. I could record it on the screen. Also, you're doing the thing right now where you're providing context, and that is Radio Pro. But this also gives us an opportunity to talk about him behind his back. He has been saying for several weeks that he is in the best shape of his life, but I just saw his gut, and it doesn't look like he's in the best shape of his life. Am I supposed to believe that the man I know to be constantly lying is truly exercising every morning the way that he's saying? I frankly don't believe him. Do you?
I don't believe anything he ever says about anything.
Yes.
I don't, like, there's, what did I tell you this morning that I mentioned to you something this morning about, I assume that everyone's always telling the truth except for Stugatz. I assume yes. Stugatz is always lying.
Yes, which is why it's the most honest relationship we have. However, he just returned back to his home studio without a dog, and now I have my doubts that he even has a dog.
Finney's left the building. I don't know where he is.
For the love of God. See, nothing about Stugatz is real. He is Lance Armstrong. Like, nothing. It's just unbelievable. We wanted the payoff of, I actually, you know what, Stugatz? I'm not even lying about this. For those people who think that I'm, like, insane with anger every time Finney barks, I was genuinely excited
yes.
to meet him.
I want to see Finney.
I wanted to meet your dog, who I have never met.
Why won't you give us
why
this?
Why will you? Why are you denying us this?
I am desperately trying to fight. It's his shining moment. I'm trying to bring him in here. I'm excited you finally want to meet him after yelling at him for a couple of months. The dog's left the house. I don't know where he is.
He's also finally been quiet for the first time in like five consecutive minutes. Where is your dog?
I have concerns now because my wife has left, my two daughters have left, and I think my dog has left. I cannot find the dog. I don't know where he is. If you guys want me to go try to find him again, I will. I mean, this is a
now,
big
let
moment.
Let me just
he's
ask
he's super
you.
Excited to meet you, Dan. I mean, I don't like you very much, but he's excited
right.
to meet you.
All right, Stugatz. So let me understand something about you, because we have arrived in a really interesting place. Your relationship, my relationship, our relationship, the way these things happen on air, how we get mad at each other. And
I love you.
Stugatz, we've been together. Like, this is an uncommonly long time for a creative team to be married, okay? We've had 20 what are you laughing about, Mike?
It's a really bad day to not be helpful at all.
Okay, yes. Well, it's an especially bad day for you to be this kind of bad today.
Oh, I've been plenty helpful. I mean, top 10 heads of hair. How about that?
That's true. You did have that.
Okay.
Moment.
So, anyway, the thing
but
is.
But you forgot Don King.
This is.
I had Lanny McDonald. I mean,
you also forgot Troy Polamalu. How did you forget that?
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, your list was weak.
I'm worried about your dog now.
Okay, yeah, so am I. But this is what I want to say, because I've got a conspiracy theory as it relates to how bad Stugatz has been today.
What?
The entire plan with Stugatz all along, okay, it's the goal of everyone here. We are chugging mightily up the hill, all of us, pushing Stugatz by the ass crack so that he arrives in the dreamy place where Stugatz is making more for doing less. Making more for doing less. We want to get Stugatz atop media in the laziest way possible and the most incompetent way possible, symbolically failing his way up the ladder at the worldwide leader in sports.
I appreciate the support and the end game and the goal. I will tell you right now, as it stands right now, it's going the other way. I'm working more, making less.
This is what I'm saying. This was going to be my point exactly, but you took the joke away from me because you've been terrible today. The point I was going to make is the man who our goal is to make more and work less as Stugatz, and you are now working more than you ever have in your life, and you're making less because they made everyone take pay cuts during a pandemic. Can you please be 1% less worse?
I will do my best. Where's my dog? I mean, I will do my best. Here, boy. Finney.
Mike, are you sure there's a dog? Mike, are you sure there's a dog?
I thought I was certain that he had a dog. I've heard him.
Stugatz, this is the part I don't understand, okay? And I'd like for you this is the kind of part I'd like for you to explain. Every damn time for 2.5 months in a pandemic that I haven't wanted to hear from Finney. Oh, Lord, have we all heard from Finney. But the one time that we need him as a prop mid-segment while you're failing everywhere, you can't find your dog for the first time in 10 weeks?
Desperately needs the payoff.
I need
find that
find
dog.
Find the damn dog. It's good for the money.
Jesus.
Just making the degree. There's the degree of difficulty on doing the show today is really hard, Stugatz. Help me. Like, just help me a little bit.
There's a police. There's a police precinct burning.
If you're just joining us,
a CNN reporter is getting arrested. I'm trying to talk.
What does that have to do with my dog?
I'm trying to talk about important social topics. Help me by merely getting out of the way.
Get the dog.
Just find the damn dog.
I'm going to go get him.
Go to commercial.
Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, continues this Sunday following the latest 30 for 30 Lance as it continues with part two. Immediately after the show airs, listen to the wrap-up podcast as Jalen and Jacoby are joined by the film's director, Marina Zenovich, who shares a behind-the-scenes look into the making of the documentary. Subscribe now to Jalen and Jacoby, the after show, on Apple Podcast or wherever you listen to podcasts. Dana White expected to join us here in just a minute. Here's your SportsCenter update. The English Premier League, returning June 17th, is hoping to conclude the season in time to allow the FA Cup final to take place on August 1st. Italy's top soccer league, Serie A, will return June 20th. Spain's top league, La Liga, will restart on June 11th. And finally, Labna Asol. I don't know what I said there. A journalist for Al Hayat TV fled the studio in the middle of an interview when a monkey brought to the set by actor Ibrahim El Saman started attacking her leg. For all the latest headlines and information, tune in to SportsCenter all throughout the day. And SportsCenter was brought to you by Blue Emu. From one of America's most trusted brands comes a new maximum strength arthritis pain relief cream. Blue Emu maximum arthritis pain relief cream is non-greasy, deep penetrating, and it's odor free. Don't let joint pain strike you out. Reach for Blue Emu maximum arthritis cream.
So we are endeavoring to locate Dana White. UFC Fight Night this Saturday features Woodley and Burns. And I'm just genuinely curious about how Dana White's business runs, because as I was mentioning last segment, I mean, I would make the argument that for his business, he has been the best commissioner in the history of sports for the making of money. But Dana joins us now, and again, UFC Fight Night this Saturday features Woodley and Burns. I wanted to talk to you, and thank you for joining us, about the business as you fight with Bones Jones over money and say that we're not going to get that heavyweight fight that we want. And you fight with a lot of your champions about money. So can we talk some money with you, Dana, as we promote this fight?
Sure. Yeah. Money is always an issue in all of sports. You know, the difference is that, you know, when these guys go off and start saying things publicly, you know, we don't go crazy and whatever. They all can, you know, have their opinions and voice them however and whenever they want.
But what do you say to people like me who say your fighters aren't paid enough?
What the hell do you know? That's what I say to you. You don't know anything about the business. You like the yap. You don't know anything about the business, and that's just your style. I just say, you know, this guy doesn't know anything. So
I don't know anything about the business, but I do know that other sports make their pay public. Even boxing does that, and boxing's the dirtiest.
Yeah, well, too bad. Well, I don't. Listen, every fighter that fights for me has the opportunity to go out and say what they make. They can say it publicly. John Jones isn't telling you what he made in his last four fights. I bet you wouldn't say that if you knew what he made. You definitely wouldn't say it if you knew what Conor McGregor made. You definitely wouldn't say it if you know what Habib made. And these women, the women that fight for us, are paid just like the men. So listen, if you want to make an uneducated, very uneducated remark like that, then knock yourself out.
But couldn't you educate me by just telling us what the money is?
Because I don't want – it's none of your business. If it was your business and if they wanted people to know, they would say it themselves. It's not like they're locked down on some kind of you know, contractual thing where they can't talk about their money. They can all talk about their money. None of them want to talk about their money publicly because they don't want people knowing what they make.
Why don't the fighters?
That's their prerogative. And all other sports do a lot of things that I don't do. I'm going right now in the middle of the pandemic. I did 3 fights in the last week. Other sports aren't doing that either. I don't do what other sports do. I run my business the way that I want to.
Do you think that you could, if there was a union for the fighters in your sport? Do you think you could have been?
That's up to them too. That's not up to me. That's up to them. If the fighters wanted to create a union, that's up to them. They don't want a union, just like they don't want to talk about their money publicly.
Why don't the fighters want a union? Why don't they have a union?
I have no idea. You'd have to ask them that.
How would you feel about unionization?
Well, listen, personally, I deal with a lot. When we go into venues, I deal with a lot of union guys. Not much gets done when there's a union. But that's just my personal opinion.
How much
None of that stuff matters to me, Dan. None of that stuff matters to me. It doesn't matter to me. You know, listen, I've been 20 years ago, me and the Fertittas bought this business. We've been building it over the last 20 years. After the sale, you know, Ari and those guys wanted me to stay on and continue to run the business. I love this sport. I love what we do. So I'm here, you know, continuing to do what we do. We've made a lot of people rich, made a lot of multi-millionaires. I'm in this public feud with John Jones, like you just mentioned. Where can a guy mess up as much as John Jones has and continue to work and continue to make millions and millions of dollars? Not too many places.
UFC Fight Night this Saturday. It's Woodley and Burns. UFC 250 is June 6th. ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Dana White does not mind a fight. He is very good as a promoter for his sport. And as I said, commissioners do not make for their businesses the money that he has made for his business out of nowhere, literally in an alley once upon a time signing a contract. Did Cejudo retire because he wasn't paid enough?
Cejudo's been talking about retirement for a while. And, you know, the minute you get and if Cejudo wants to let people know what he made in his last fight, he's more than welcome. I'm giving him an open invitation right now in a weight division that people haven't cared about. Everybody complains about Cejudo. He's the king of cringe and all this other stuff. Ask Cejudo what he made in his last fight. I think you'd be shocked at what he made. But he's not telling people what he made. So it's not about money. This guy, I should rephrase that. It's always about money. But that guy's had a lot. He doesn't like cutting weight anymore. The guy's been a competitive athlete for most of his life. And now he's made the money. So if you think Cejudo hasn't made any money, he's just going to retire and do what? What's he going to do? Is he going to go get a job at a supermarket? Is he going to go, what's he going to do? The guy has enough money to retire.
UFC Fight Night this Saturday. Again, it's Woodley and Burns. UFC 250 is June 6th on ESPN+. What the hell with Masvidal, man? Like, why can't we watch him fight? Who are you going to put him with?
Oh, we will. You know, we're just coming out of this pandemic right now. A lot of these guys haven't been able to train properly. And what you're starting to see happen right now with my business is you have all these guys who compete and girls who compete 3 times a year. They've been locked up. They haven't been able to train. Everybody's starting to lose their mind on social media. I got 2 fights coming up and we are back on schedule and I can get all these guys work again and you know, get everybody off social media.
Is your Reebok uniform deal coming to an end? Are you gonna make a new deal with a new sponsor?
It is. It comes up. I think it comes up the end of this year. And we're talking to people now.
Are fighters going to be able to have sponsors in the cage again, or just you guys?
The fighters get paid. The fighters get paid for whatever sponsors we have. They get a piece of that, and they can have whatever sponsors they want outside the cage.
Who do you want to see fight, Dana? Like, who do you really want to see fight? The fight you want to put together is blank.
Well, what I'm excited about is I want to see what's going to happen between Justin Gaethje and Khabib. I want to see that fight. I want to see how that plays out. And then I'm excited for Conor to fight the winner.
And that's finalized. Like that's Connor's next fight.
No, that's not guaranteed. But that's if everything plays out the way that it should. That's what I'd like to see. You asked me, what would I like to see? That's what I just told you. What I would like to see. That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen.
How much do you think Bones Jones has caused you? Because I don't understand how you recover from things like this with all the stuff that has happened to sort of nuke some of your pay-per-view fights. Like, how do you put a dollar sign on that? And does that have anything to do with why you're fighting him over dollars where you are?
Yeah, no, you can't. And John Jones is one of the fascinating thing about John Jones. There's many things that are fascinating about John Jones, but I consider John Jones the GOAT. I don't even think it's a debate. I don't even think there's a debate. The guy is the greatest of all time. And regardless of what you think about his last two fights, he didn't win the fight. He lost the fight. The three people that matter, the judges, gave him the fight in his last two fights. And the guy hasn't been beat. He's fought all the best in the world, despite the damage he's done to himself outside of the octagon. The thing is, you look at what he could have been. You know, he could have been the LeBron James of this sport. He could have been the Michael Jordan of this sport and could have made God knows how much money. That guy could have a Nike deal outside of, you know, and if you look at all the big sponsors that take the big athletes, the LeBrons, the Jordans, the list goes on and on. He could have been that guy. And I think that he's at a point in his career now, he's looking at guys like Conor and Khabib. And he's like, well, why don't I have what these guys have? You know, he doesn't want to accept responsibility for the things that have happened in the past. You know, the guy lost Nike and Gatorade. Those were both two of his sponsors. So what could have been is fascinating with John Jones.
How much do
guy,
you
let me put it to you this way, though, Dan. The guy makes millions of dollars. He's very rich. And when these guys get pissed off and they're not happy about this and that, they have the ability to retire. I mean, realistically, honestly, right now, maybe you could, but could you retire right now and say, you know what, I'd never have to worry about it ever again? You know what
yes.
I mean?
Well,
not a lot of people are in that position.
What?
My guys can do that.
How much do you think Bones Jones should get paid? Let me pin you down here, Dana. One straight yep. money answer, even though it's yep. not my business, it's your business. How much do you think Bones Jones should be paid for an Ngannou fight in the heavyweight division?
It's John Jones' business. It's his business. If John Jones wants to come out and talk about how much money he's made in his last four fights, that's John Jones' business. I got no problem. I would tell you right now. I would tell you right now on this call how much John Jones made in his last four fights, despite being arrested how many times and all the things that have gone on with John Jones. But that's not my business. It's his. And the answer to the question, so when John Jones did this new deal that he's under right now, going up to the heavyweight division was factored in, right? But even if John Jones came back and said, you know what, I know we factored this in, but I want this fight and I really want to do this, can we bump my money up? We would still say yes, but not at the number that John Jones is asking for. That's not going to happen.
UFC.
And John Jones gets a piece of pay-per-view. John Jones is a partner in the pay-per-view. So if he believes that fight with Francis Ngannou is that big, the amount of money he can make is unlimited. It's an unlimited amount of money based on pay-per-view. You know, and guys like Conor McGregor and Khabib and many people before them, the Ronda Rouseys and the really, really big superstars, they know the answer to that question.
UFC Fight Night this Saturday features Tyron Woodley taking on Gilbert Burns, and UFC 250 is June 6th on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Dana White with us here on ESPN Radio. Dana, I got to tell you, first off, you're doing a fine job. I think you're awesome. Secondly, I'm wondering, the fight I want to see is Dana versus Dan. Have you experienced it the same way, Dana? Has Dan been at an all-time annoyance level today or what? I mean, geez.
Wow, he's been annoying since birth. Yeah, this is nothing new with Le Batard. He's been annoying since birth.
I would like to fight you, though. What do you think how do you think that would end up going, you and me? Can we do that for charity? Can we raise a bunch of money for charity?
Absolutely. It ends very badly for you. Very badly. Right. That I promise.
Only because you'd bring that meathead glazer with you. That's the only reason.
Yeah. You physical specimen. This ends very badly for you.
No, I've got about 80 pounds on you, White. Yeah, about 80 pounds.
And your weight fluctuates
like I've seen it.
It's not a good 80 pounds either.
Okay, but what I'm saying is you are also a weight fluctuator, so I don't know what kind of shape you're in, but what I'm telling you is I'm going to get in shape. Let's raise some money for charity. Quit. Give me a straight answer. Are you and I going to fight for an enormous amount of money?
Hell yes. I'm in. Make it happen. I'm in.
I got data.
Thank you, Scott. It's immediately going to the other side. Dana, thank you for being on with us. Get out of here.
Pleasure. Bye, guys.
See ya. Geico has the insurance industry leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
Geico, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Long before Roy Halladay's untimely death in 2017, Hall of Fame Blue Jays and Phillies pitcher had scores of remarkable moments that punctuated his baseball life. Not least among them, a perfect moment from 10 years ago today. 5 months later, in the National League Divisional Series against the Reds, Halladay became only the second pitcher in Major League Baseball history to throw a postseason no-hitter. E60, imperfect, premieres tonight. At 7 Eastern on ESPN. Here's your SportsCenter update. The English Premier League, returning June 17th, is hoping to conclude the season in time to follow the FA Cup final to take place on August 1st. Italy's top soccer league, Serie A, will return June 20th. Spain's top league, La Liga, will restart on June 11th. Soccer is back. And finally, the Pensacola Blue Wahoos, the AA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins in the Southern League, have listed their ballpark, Admiral Fetterman Field, an Airbnb. The team said the $1,500 per night stays can accommodate up to 10 guests for the most intimate behind-the-scenes ballpark experience in history. The guests will receive full access to the field during their stays with a full batting practice setup included in the package. I love that. And for all the latest headlines and information, tune the SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day. Owners getting creative trying to get some money there, Dan.
Mike Ryan is burying me during the break with laughter. He was asking questions about Fight Island with me against Dana White, and I'm like Fat Island, and he's like it should be Thousand Island. So I need to tell the audience, as I've told you guys before, the last time I fought was 3 decades ago, and my fighting career ended because, as I told you guys the story, I'm squared up on a dude in Coconut Grove. It's at the tavern, okay? At that dump of a place in Coconut Grove.
R.I.P.
It's not there anymore.
Nah, man, it had its send off before everything happened.
I'll fight over a woman, and what ended up happening is because I had been in some fights before that, but was no fighter, but hadn't actually lost a fight, so I wasn't too afraid.
You came in undefeated.
I came in unafraid to fight and didn't fight that often, but fought enough to get into trouble. And so I'm squared up on this guy ready to fight, and I have the thought as I'm looking at him, I'm like, oh, he's not scared either. And my next thought was, oh, wait a minute. I just admitted I'm scared. And then what ends up happening is I've got a car honking at me as I'm sitting in the street. I've lost a shoe and my shirt has been pulled over my head and my ear is bleeding because I was the guy on the wrong end of that viral video last week with the jeans and the chain who was bald and shirtless, ready for a fight. And he didn't realize that he was going up against lanky Jeff Goldblum, who was going to roundhouse kick him I had no chance. And so are you guys under the impression that I think I would win that fight? What I'd be doing is going in and taking a beating symbolically. Dana White says the media is weak and wimpy. He crushes all media members who dare to question him by saying, I don't care what those nerds think. So here comes the heavyweight champ of those nerds, the heavyweight nerd of the nerds. And I have no chance. So basically what we'd be doing, Mike is sitting here saying, Daniel, you're going to train for this and try. And I'm like, Mike, I don't have any chance at actually doing anything other than taking a beating for charity.
Yeah, you shouldn't even train for this because I know what you're going to do. I'm like, I got to get my body looking good at least because there's that part of this whole shame because I can't go in there wearing like a wrestling singlet like Andre the Giant to protect the world from seeing what lies beneath. So you're going to want to train for this, and then you're going to start working up the courage to think, oh, okay, well, let me work on my guard. Let me learn how to check a kick and do all that stuff. Don't waste your time. Just go in there, get this beating. Let's raise some money and get all the great attention that comes with it.
I am with Mike. Again, I'll train you if you need it, but I'm with Mike. Go in there. I mean, just take your beating. Take it quickly. Take a dive if you have to. Yeah. Raise some money. But go in there, Dan. Go in there knowing you have a puncher's chance.
Well,
I mean, go in there.
Yeah, and find that guy that Dominic Cruz accused of being drunk and smoking cigarettes all the time. You don't want Herb Dean in there because he might let this be a show for a little bit, all right?
I can't just take a dive, Stugatz. If it raises a legitimate amount of money for charity, I can't just go in there and tap out as soon as they ring the bell.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you raise money. It doesn't matter what it looks like.
No tapping. Wait a minute. Well, what if he asks?
Because we're going to raise. We are going to raise north of $10 million.
You say no tapping. So you mean I should allow him, for example, if he gets me in a chokehold, to complete the chokehold?
You slip away.
Yeah, you slip away. Let's hope that happens. Let the
referee in charge make the decision. Yeah, you can't punk us like that, man. You're already in the ring with Dana White. You can't be tapping immediately the second
you
break your arm.
I don't know if he actually knows mixed martial arts. Wasn't he an aerobics instructor a long time ago? Do I have this wrong? I might have my facts wrong on this, but I think he came up before he became a boxing trainer as an aerobics instructor. Stugatz is wincing right now. I don't know if that's factual what it is I'm saying, but I've got to talk the game leading up to the fight. That's the whole game.
That is your primary fighting discipline.
He's a promoter. Right. All I'm going to do is talk the whole time and then immediately tap.
No tapping. No, he needs to land. We're talking about $10 million here, Dana.
No,
he needs
to
land.
Listen to me. This is going to be faster than the Masvidal fight. Like, this is going
to
be.
I love you trying to lull him to sleep by talking.
I wonder if you just, has anyone ever curled up immediately just like in a defensive stance as soon as they ring the bell? Man, it's just going to be, imagine the walk out, the fact that someone's going to check you for foreign objects. You're going to do that little prance around the octagon, working up courage, and he is going to destroy you. This is so worth it. It might main event. Honestly, it's going to main event a fight night. This is incredible. I'm so happy you agreed to do this. I feel bad for Valerie, obviously, your face. There's going to be harm done to you that you're going to be paying for years down the line. Also, you can retire now.
Yes, I can.
What?
I can. More sports next.